Welcome to the Drive Time Pod. It's a show where us white bitches talk about whatever the hell we want. My name's Mariah.
I'm Corey.
And I'm Sarah.
And this week, we are talking about the most beautiful, most wondrous, most splendid seaside resort in all of the South Coast, Sanditon. Ladies, what are we drinking?
Well, I'll start. My voice sounds different to anyone. I'm drinking hot water with lemon and honey because I'm dying.
Because she doesn't have the COVID, but I'm skeptical.
Don't. COVID is a dry cough, and I have all the congestion.
All right. All right.
I got tested, guys. Promise.
I know. Fair. I'm drinking hot chocolate.
Oh, I wish I could drink hot chocolate.
And I had marshmallows in it, but they all melted because it was so hot.
Hence, hot chocolate.
Shut the hell up, Corey. Man, is this just a roast circle today?
Here's the thing. I'm with Mariah. I want hot chocolate, but I don't actually want it to be that hot.
I want it to be drinkable.
Warm chocolate?
Yeah. Maybe.
Whatever. It's hot chocolate, but I want it to be more like... So Kelly and I drove to... This is going to be a story.
Yes.
You're welcome. My sister and I went on a drive, and we were like, okay, let's go to Dutch Brothers and get hot chocolate with oat milk. Because neither of us can do dairy. Yay, bodies. But oat milk is amazing, so it's fine. Uh-huh. And she got some because she likes her drinks to be boiling lava hot. And she's like, Sarah, this is like lukewarm. I'm low-key... Or actually high key, like disappointed right now. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. Mine still is too hot to drink. And she goes, and mine was actually hotter than hers, but she had already started to chug hers, so I was not about to switch.
Right, right.
Fair enough.
So yeah, no, I like it to be like, had some time to sit, be palatable.
Yeah, I know.
I don't want to burn all the taste buds off my tongue so that I can't actually taste it.
That's fair. I'm with Kelly, though. I want to not be able to feel my esophagus at the end. And whew, no.
Good.
That's not pleasurable.
Right?
No, I don't like to burn the top of my mouth, like the roof, or like the tip of my tongue when I drink hot things. However, I will eat the hottest of food. My roommates are like, what the heck? How can you eat so much right out of the oven? That's really crazy. I have a nickname of being called asbestos mouth. It's kind of hilarious.
I did not know that until now, and I'm going to be using it.
My mouth is made of asbestos. So fire retardant.
The really good kind, yeah.
Not like the one that will like kill you if you breathe it in. Yeah. Even though it's the same. Anyway, Corey, what are you drinking?
I got some red wine.
Ooh, ooh. Of course. How did yes. we? That's classier
so
than normal.
Shocked.
Listen.
What? So, this is Corey, right?
Yeah.
That decided this. Okay, Corey, tell us why pick this piece of media, this thing.
Well. Here's our backstory.
Yes, yes.
For anyone who doesn't know, Sarah had a podcast for a while where she read us books at the beginning of quarantine.
And it was so cute.
It was the best.
It's still up. Feel free.
Yeah. Sari the Fairy Reads Books.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And she read us Sanditon, a novel based on a manuscript by Jane Austen. I refuse.
Nope. A novel based on a TV show based off a manuscript written by Jane Austen.
Right, an unfinished manuscript written by Jane Austen.
It gets worse and worse every time. It just gets worse and worse. And then we watched the show and we were going to do like a book club and talk about it and we never did. And I was like, oh, hey, we should do this for our podcast.
It's been 6 months.
It's been like 6 months. So this is kind of going to be a book club / a movie TV show review because we read the book. All of us have technically read the book or listened to the book, whatever, however you want to put it. And we've all now watched the show. Yeah. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk all about it. And so we've already covered the beginning. My very first question was, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
So it is just to clarify, It is a novel based on a TV show based on an unfinished manuscript that was found in Jane Austen's house.
Yep.
So there's like that.
By all accounts, it should not exist. But here we are.
But here we are. So, again, spoilers, because the show only came out like at the beginning of this year, end of last year or something. It says 2020 on it when you watch it on Amazon.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I thought it came out last year.
It might have. It might have just gotten uploaded in 2020. But on Amazon, it says 2020. So we're going to be spoiling this. And if you love Jane Austen, maybe don't listen.
I mean, okay, here's the thing. You can listen, but like
it came out in 2019.
Okay. Like, I just want to say up front, this is like Jane Austen is known for like happy endings. Sometimes you have to earn those happy endings, but they're there. And this Sanditon does not have one. Nope. So if you're like, I want to keep the memory of Jane Austen as like this thing where you have to earn your happy endings, but you do get them happily ever after, blah, de, blah, blah, blah. Turn away. Keep it in your memory.
I mean, right? Sanditon to exists. Be fair, we are not hating on Jane Austen. We're hating on the fact that they dare to call Sanditon Jane Austen. Exactly.
So that is my next question. Should this be considered a Jane Austen?
It's Jane Austen fanfic. I mean,
yeah. It's like one of those, there's no word for it in the English language in German. It's in German, and it's Jein. Yes and no. You could say it at once, but now I have to say yes and no. It drives me nuts. Anyway.
I mean, in English, we kind of have...
because it is a yes and a no, because obviously they don't want to say... It's just like they use her characters, you know? Mm-hmm. She created at least some of the main ones. I don't know how, you know, how many got added in by Andrew Davies, who wrote the TV show. But they have to somehow honor her and her creativity. They can't just say that they did it. So they have to give credit, but it is basically like fan fiction. It's like when you read them and they say, I don't own these characters, so it all belongs to Star Wars or J.K. Rowling and Harry Potter, you know, all of that. The story is just my own. Because they basically took it and run with it.
Yeah, they basically took a Jane Austen prompt and were like, but what if it was sexy?
And sad.
And sad as fuck. And no one is happy.
With no resolution. Yeah, so at the very beginning of the TV show, every episode, it starts out, there's this tiny little, it says, like, based on an unfinished manuscript by Jane Austen. And it says her name super big. Like, they're trying to sell the point. It's like, this is a Jane Austen. And there are elements of it that are, and that are really good, that we all talk about, but... I truly think they've done Jane a disservice by putting her name on it. I get that you have to credit someone, but like, I feel like Jane is like rolling in her grave and just is like, no, this is not my like story.
I understand. I think they were trying to get people to actually watch it so then they could finish the story they wanted the way they wanted to, but no one did watch it. And so they didn't get a season two.
Well, you know? 'Cause you can't just leave a season one.
People do that all the time.
I think, honestly, though, you know what I think? I think that they overhyped the fact that Jane Austen was attached, and that backfired on them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was the same thing. As soon as I found out, when I started to read you guys the book, and I was like, wait, wait, wait. This was not written as a book and then made into a TV show. Which I think would have maybe changed the quality. The story would have been different. That's what I had originally thought it was that it was a book that had been started by Jane Austen and finished by some rando, and then they made that into a TV show. And I think it would have been different had it been treated that way. But it's literally, I mean, you all watch the show, it's verbatim, scene for scene, what's in the show is in the book.
Yeah. Except like, a couple things they added into the book that was not in the show. But other than that, yeah, it's like almost the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, that being said, I really like Sanditon overall.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's great. Until the last, like, 30 minutes of the last episode. And I'm like, why did you stop?
Mm-hmm. Stop. Well, that was my problem. And my mom and I were talking about it when it was over, because I watched it with my mom and my dad. And I was like, here's the thing, is, like, most of it is, like, so fucking good. And it is a lot of Jane Austen. There's, like, the really fun, like, character things. It's set in that upper middle class. Like, there's just a lot of the elements. And so you're, like, really roped in and you're excited and happy. And, yeah, bad things happen, but people learn their lesson and it moves on and things are great. But then they just, like, cut you off at the knees at the end. And you're like, wait, what? What is... Huh? And so it's like this horrible whiplash. And that's part of why, like, for me anyway, I was so mad at the ending, because I was so invested in the characters and I freaking loved it. And then they just, like, never mind, everyone dies. And you're like, wait, what? Yeah.
I legitimately stopped recording, like, reading it to you guys. Mm-hmm. I was so mad.
Yeah.
Because I had found out and I couldn't tell you. I couldn't commiserate with you guys because I hadn't recorded it. You hadn't listened to it yet. I was so mad.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're building up this ending, like, a lot.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. Which I'm trying to really say what it is.
Well, like, we truly, the ending is, yeah, it's just that it's not a happy Jane Austen ending. And that'll be that. But so, well, the premise, let's go over the whole premise of this story. Mm-hmm. Is there's a young woman named Charlotte who lives in, like, I don't know.
Willingdon.
Like, yeah. But I don't know, like, classes. Like, what is she? Like, probably the middle class?
She's a farmer's daughter.
Yeah.
But
she's
not, like, poor. You know, she's, like, decent. Mm-hmm. But there's 11 siblings.
Oh. Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
Just to bring it back, like, I would say, you know how in Emma we have Mr. Martin, who is a farmer's son? Like, basically, that's where Charlotte comes from. She's, like, a Martin.
Mm-hmm.
She is, like, a farmer. She has some kind of money. She's able to dress well. She has an education. But she is by fucking no means Emma Woodhouse, you know?
Right. Yeah. Right. So she's just, like, lollygagging at her house. And there's a carriage accident.
Hanging around shooting shit.
Right?
She's as a girl, badass. You know, like... girly shit.
And it's these much richer than them people who have this carriage accident. Tom and Mary Parker,
who I love.
And through the whole means of Jane Austen, it's like, thanks for saving us. Can we take your oldest daughter away to the seaside town that I'm building that I want to make really rich, like Brighton and Bath? And it's like, sure, we've only known you a week. You can have our daughter. Bye.
I mean, that's the way that girls meet boys in these day and age,
it's
you know?
True.
Seems
it's true.
Legit to me.
Seems legit. Yeah, my
Tinder didn't exist, Corey.
There's no Bumble to help them out.
Oh God, and even if God bless
so many fish. So then it's just basically Charlotte's adventure with the Parkers while Tom Parker is trying to build Sanditon and make it a seaside resort, and you know, there's follies and foibles and fun things happening.
Wow. Follies, foibles, and fun things that are happening. And don't forget to add fucking boys, baby.
Yay.
I just feel like there's so many men in this show.
Literally, guys, you don't even know the group chat when Mariah started watching this show. I was the first one to watch it, and then Corey watched it with her mom and dad, and then Mariah watched it. And, oh God!
And I'm just overly
the
enthusiastic.
Thirst was real for Mariah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, well, Corey and I appreciated it, but yes. Like, it was real for Mariah.
It was so strangely real.
It's so good. The thing is, too, there are so many freaking characters in this show. And book.
Yep.
And trying to keep them all together. I actually, while Sarah was reading, there, I got Clara and Esther mixed up a lot, and I kind of was they're the same person.
Well,
it's
I mean,
one person.
They're very similar, and I'm shit at accents. And no. I never remembered from episode to episode what I did the last time.
It's all good. I never noticed. I just didn't ever remember. So I'm just going to go through the tree of who's who real quick. See if I can remember this because I did not write it down. So Charlotte is the daughter of the farmer, and she's living with Tom and Mary Parker, who have three kids. Mm-hmm. Tom has four kids.
Yeah, they have a baby.
Right. They have the little one. Tom has two brothers and a sister.
Mm-hmm. Which, when you were reading it, for some reason, I thought that Arthur and the sister who
Diana,
I thought they were married.
Yes.
So when I was like, "Oh, my brothers," and I was like, "Oh,
legit." In the show, even it's like three or four episodes in, and there's only eight episodes, but there's like four episodes in. We were like, "Are they married or related? What?" And then you figure out, they're just inseparable brother and sister.
Honestly, on this week's episode of Are They Married or Are They Related?
There's that's a lot just of that in this
living,
show.
That's just like living in Europe and or Alabama.
Yeah, it's not wrong. In Appalachia. So, So Tom has a brother, Arthur, who is a giant, bumbling, beautiful man.
I love
that. We love so much. Mariah, my favorite thing.
He wants to be
a
blossoming flower.
Oh, and I was like, if that is not the gayest shit I've ever seen. Like, that man's a fucking homosexual. I see you, boy.
Yes.
Good on you. I love you.
Yes. So he and their sister Diana are inseparable and like hypochondriacs beyond belief. And they're just hilarious. It's like the comic relief. And then there's a third brother, Sydney. Sydney Paca, played by Theo James.
Who is too hot to function, I swear to God.
Let me tell you, I was not a huge fan of Sydney just reading the book. Watching Theo James portray him.
I liked him so much more. Honestly, in the book, I was like, who the fuck would even go near Sydney Parker?
Right?
He is the worst.
Mm-hmm. Which my dad hated him the whole time.
Fair enough.
Understandable.
Yeah. He's got to stick up his butt.
He really, really does. So then Tom is trying to build Sanditon, but he's the rich guy, so he just like chills. So there's a side cast of characters, which are all the people who are building really nice like townhomes, two of whom are the Stringers, Young Stringer and Old Stringer, which is father and son. And Young Stringer is so hot.
Okay. All right. Here's the thing, though. As I remember telling everybody, we first started reading Young Stringer, I know, describing him, I was imagining more along the lines of like, I don't know, like a Ragnar Lothbrok kind of person, you know? like sweaty all the time, just dirty. And then I looked up a picture of who played Young Stringer, and I was like, oh, he's a child.
Yeah, you texted us and you were like, oh, he's not hot, don't look him up.
And I was like, I don't agree with you, he's so pretty.
Listen, I thought he was too, I was like, he looks like a boy, he looks like he was the sixth member of One Direction before they decided to reject him.
He does. You're not wrong.
And I know, and I'm like, okay, whatever, because I'm like, pretty boys are not necessarily my thing. And then I saw him moving on screen and I was like, oh, he's got a beauty that moves, holy shit. Oh, I see. I understand now.
That is a direct text message quote.
Yeah.
From Mariah.
He's got a beauty that moves.
I love it.
He looks weird in pictures to me, but I'm put him on celluloid and I'm like, oh yeah.
Yes.
Oh yeah, baby.
Yeah. So if you can't tell already, Young Stringer and Sydney Parker are the almost love interests of Charlotte. So that's who she like is trying to, who knows what, you know, polyamory should have just been invented at that point.
Honestly, though,
let's be real.
That's the second season I want to see.
Yes.
Ooh. Wait a minute. I'm seeing it in my brain.
There's some fan fiction for you to write for us.
Oh, shit.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Oh, God. Continue, so, Corey.
Okay. There's so many characters. Sydney Parker, and I didn't write any of this down, so I'm sorry now. But so then Sydney Parker has this weird relationship with this woman who shows up, who's super, super rich. And it turns out she's his ward, so that's Miss Lamb.
Mm-hmm. Who I love.
Miss Lamb is a woman of color.
Yay!
Which we love. She's a very rich sugar heiress from Antigua. So, and it's just kind of nice to see that portrayed in a Jane Austen-esque period piece. It's like, yeah, England wasn't just white. But so then there's Miss Lamb, and Miss Lamb has like this lady who watches her and her two daughters, and there's this weird priest, and we don't care. They're gonna just live their lives over there. We just care about Miss Lamb. And then our final big set of characters is the Denim Clan.
Oh.
And this is where a lot of our fun drama happens.
By fun, you mean some crazy ass incest.
I mean, it's technically not incest, but we'll get into
it. Oh, come on. They're all related.
Yes. Yes.
They're all really right?
Good. Hold on. Let's go through it. So, Miss Lady Denim is Tom Parker's, like, rich... What do they call it?
Benefactress.
Benefactress?
Benefactress. Like a benefactor, but a benefactress because she's a woman.
Benefactress, yes. Mm-hmm. So, she's the one... She's, like, the really rich person sponsoring all of Sanditon.
Patron, you could also say.
Patron. Thank you.
Patroness. Because she's a woman.
She's a woman. Oh, she's a badass woman.
I do fucking love... Lady Denim, like even more so in the show than I did in the book. Mm-hmm. And I loved her in the book.
She's such a fucking twat. I love her so much. She's the worst.
Like Lady Catherine de Bourgh.
Yes. No. Was. No. Lady Catherine de Bourgh is more classy.
Oh, it's so true though.
This is Lady Catherine de Bourgh without class.
Oh, it's so good. She's such a skeeze. I love her.
Yeah. So she married a rich man and then he died. So she has all of this money, but they never had children. So then there's these three people that are related to her in different ways, trying to obtain her affections and become her heirs or her heir. So there's Clara, which is the one lady, and she's just like a poor relation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then there's Esther and
Edward.
Why am I forgetting? Edward? Yes, Edward. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, shit. I just remembered Babington and Crow. Okay, hold on. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. We'll get there. So.
Yeah. You Esther. Can't forget about the love of my life.
Right. Lord Babington.
Lord Babington.
Not Crow? Crow's not the love of your... He would give you an STD in 2 seconds. He'd be
yeah,
so happy
exactly.
To.
No.
He'd oh, be God. So happy to get you drunk and give you syphilis.
Jesus Christ.
So, what? I mean, that's it, who he is.
All right, you're telling us about Edward and Esther.
Esther and Edward. Now, they're step-siblings by marriage. Correct. So, they're not related by blood in any way, correct?
No. Correct, they're not. But they were, they were raised together.
Which right. is my
siblings, the... which is why Mariah says it's incest because
right.
that's her thing.
It's I'm still like, icky. It's still really icky.
No, it is incest. You grew up as siblings. You see each other as siblings. Therefore, you should not want to fuck each other.
And yet they do.
Oh my God, it's so gross.
They don't.
Well they don't they have sex in the book, but they don't have sex in the movie.
They don't have sex in the book.
They get pretty close because I remember you reading a scene to us and being like, this is
they
very
were
awkward.
Kissing, but they didn't ever have sex.
Okay.
I know because I read it.
I listened to you reading it, so not as great.
They did kiss, and I was like,
they did kiss, and it was a little squicky, a lot squicky. I didn't like it, but they didn't. The only characters who had sex that I like read about was Clara. And Edward.
Mm-hmm.
And then briefly Esther and Babington. But that's it.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So then.
So they didn't. They get close, but they never did because he basically he's an emotionally manipulative bastard who knows how she feels and strings her along to get what he wants.
Which is Lady Denham's fortune. Yes.
You know, he's just playing with her emotions, and so he will pretend, but he's not actually going to do anything.
Right. Yeah. And then, yes, so then our final cast of characters is Sydney's two really rich friends that he brings to town to try to convince rich people to come to this town. And it is Crow and Lord Babington. I'm sure it's Lord Crow because he's, like, really rich, but he's weird.
He was a mister?
Okay. Mr. Crow and Lord Babington. Mr.
Crow and Lord Babington.
And then we can't forget who comes in at the very end. The one, the only Lady Susan.
Oh, my God. Lady Susan. Yes. So...
who is quite intimate with the Prince Regent.
She's, I think she's, yeah, she's his paramour or something.
Man, they said it in so many fun ways, and I'm like, oh, she's fucking the guy who's in charge of this country. Got it.
Yeah, yeah, I loved it. So at the very end of this, I'm going to ask you if you could rewrite the ending. How could you? And mine all centers around Lady Worcester.
Lady Worcester.
Worcester. Lady Worcestershire. No, just kidding. right? Okay. But so those are your characters. If you can't keep it straight, that's okay. I watched the show and listened to the book and still couldn't keep it straight. All we know is that I love Babington and Young Stringer. So then my first question to the ladies is, who is your favorite character and why is it Young Stringer's hats?
His hats are the worst.
I hate the hats so much.
So bad. I watched the show together and she could not. She was like, he's so hot and his hats are so bad. They're so ugly.
Listen, I don't know why they decided to have everything be so period appropriate and so beautifully dressed, but then they consulted Pharrell for the hats for Young Stringer. Like, who decided?
Well, they asked Pharrell, and then they made them 18 inches taller than even Pharrell would wear.
God, it's so awful.
Like, you could see him coming from 80 feet away, 80 blocks away. It was like, there's Young Stringer.
And for why? And for why? Like, that whole style is garbage.
Was it ever a style? Yeah. Was it ever in? No.
Okay, but seriously. Assuming that it was actually period appropriate.
It was, yeah.
But... we just were not a fan.
No.
But guess what? We didn't live back then, which is probably a really good thing.
Well,
I like having rights. It's cool.
You'd be married.
Uh-huh.
You'd probably be entering retirement by now.
No, let's be real. Honestly, I was born 6 weeks early. I would not be alive.
Oh, you'd be dead.
You'd be dead.
I'd be alive.
Yeah. I would have died in childbirth because I do not have birthing hips. So there you go. Yeah. But really, who's your favorite character?
You know, I honestly truly really like Charlotte. I think she's so cute and she's so cool. Like, in the book she was kind of milquetoast, but I think that the actress, I think her name is Rose Williams, she did a really good job of, like, bringing her to life, and I was like, oh my god, she's so cute, she's so cool, she's got a little scrunchy nose and she kind of looks like a feminine version of Orlando Bloom, and I'm like, okay, you're so great. And you're so cute. And your hair is so modern. And I love that for you.
Right?
Like, that was my favorite, that everybody's hair was so period appropriate. And then she had a side part. I'm like, ah, yes. Right.
I know.
Her little Sarah? Face.
Honestly, I like a lot of the characters. But I think because character growth is one of my favorite things to, like, see, and that's what really endears characters to me. Mm-hmm. And so Esther has the best character arc, and her growth is amazing. So I really, like, I hated her when we first met her, and then I just really loved seeing how she came to love herself and, like, see that she had value as a person, and yeah, see her get her happy ending. So she was probably one of my favorites, but honestly, I love Babington and I love Young Stringer.
For that reason I also quite like in the filmed version, Sydney Parker. I think he's really cool. Like,
well, so then that's my next question. Was there somebody you liked more in the book or the movie? So, example for me, I thought Miss Lamb in the movie was portrayed terribly. She was way better in the book.
I agree.
But I didn't really care about Babington and Esther during the book. But in the TV show, hello, I made my mom rewatch their scenes in the last like 3 episodes with me. I was like, we're just looking for Babington. We're just watching Babington.
Oh my God, scenes. Their little carriage date, so cute.
They're so cute. And when he figures out that her brother has been manipulating her this whole time because he has asked her to marry him. And she was like, no. And then he goes, like, he has used you. Like, most dreadfully or something. And I am here to be your friend and let you know that you have worth. And she just starts crying. I was like, oh my God, wait, what?
And then, like, they didn't get right to, like, together right after that.
They were just friends.
It was so cute.
Yeah. And this is where, especially men, but my father, hi, Dad, if you're listening, do not understand how women work. So they had all that cutesy, and then in the last episode, Babington comes to the house to, like, take Esther on a ride, but Lady Denham is there.
Mm-hmm.
And so in front of Lady Denham, she can't show that she likes Babington because Lady Denham wants her to marry Babington because he's rich. So he comes in and he's like, I thought you'd want to go on a carriage ride with me. And she's like, well, you're wrong. I don't want to be near you at all. My dad was like, but you were just friends. And I was like, she can't. Yes, we know. She can't show Lady
Denham. You can't tell a girl you like me to look like an idiot.
Yes.
Way to bring it full circle, Sarah. Yeah. Anytime. You can't tell a girl that you like her. You'll look like an idiot.
You can't tell a boy you like
that you like
him. It'll make you look like an idiot.
I made it gender appropriate.
Thank you.
So good.
Oh my gosh. But and then in the book, I really did like Young Stringer and Charlotte. Like, and I wanted them to end up together. But did you guys have anyone that, like, changed your mind versus, like, book versus show?
I mean, for me, it was for sure Sydney. And then I guess also Young Stringer. I was like, Young Stringer, I was like, oh, he's cool. Like, he's fine. But, in the book, it didn't seem that, like, intense of a friendship / romantical interest. And then and then the show, I was like, oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a love triangle. Oh, cool. This would be better if one of these boys was gay, but that's fine. But anyway, but like both of the men who like are Charlotte's potential suitors in the book, I didn't find any like that appealing at all. And then, but because of the guy's acting, Theo James and the other one, who I don't remember his name.
Leo Suter.
Theo James and Leo Suter, I hate that.
It's special.
Theo and Leo.
They had fun on set.
Oh, so good. But I thought that they, like, were given characters and they really made it their own. And because I think, and I really truly do think that, like, there's a reason why Theo James is, like, kind of sort of famous. And it's because he's a really good actor. Honestly, I thought that, like, his acting was the best in the entire show. He was able to convey so many layers of emotion. And like, it's very clear that he's so used to being like the way, like, you know, it's very similar to like, I don't know who it's similar to, but anyway, but it was just so nice to see in that first scene that when we read the book, I was like, oh my God, he's just such an asshole. Like, he's like, what the fuck? He's just like an asshole for no asshole reason. But it's very clear as in the way that Leo James acted, he was looking for a compliment. And when he got truth, he was very offended. And I was like, why is he an Aries just like me?
Yes.
I'm looking for flattery and you gave me the truth.
I do not appreciate.
And then he got mad, and so and he just like threw words like he like, and it was crazy. But I could see, like, I'm like, oh, he's just motherfucking hurt. He's so the intense self-hatred that he has for himself and that he's just putting on other people. And he cares clearly so much about everybody else's opinions of him that he has forgotten to care about himself and just think about what he thinks. I see you. I see you.
Which is
that's why I liked him better. Like, that was better. Why it was conveyed better in the show than it was in the book.
Okay, so Mariah posed a question to the group chat and they deferred it to me and I hadn't answered. Mariah said she thinks that he's an 8. And I would like to pose the idea. Sorry, taking it to the Enneagram for listeners who don't understand what I'm saying with numbers.
Listen to our Enneagram episode.
Please. I would like to pose the idea that he's actually a 2 living in stress as an 8. Because he was a 2 who gave his whole heart to fucking Mrs. Campion.
Yeah, fucking bitch.
And so, and 2s, what they do is they serve everyone else and they deny their own needs. And 2s and 8, and then they go to 8s in stress. So then they'll seem like super aggressive and like bitches or assholes. And they do the often, like, pride is their biggest, is their deadly sin. So they like to fish for compliments sometimes. And, you know, like, they're like, oh, aren't I great? Or, and then they're also very protective. 8s and 2s are both very protective of their family. And so then the fact that Charlotte was saying things that weren't necessarily construed as nice about his siblings makes sense as to why he was getting defensive. But I really felt like as soon as like he just like shut down after he got rejected by what he thought was going who he thought was the love of his life, and he's just been living in stress as an 8 for so long. And then you'll see, and then 8s also go to 2s in health, so they're like very connected, so you could make an argument for either number. But then you'll see, like, the fun, playful, you know, softer side come out as he's relaxing, like, when he's around his nieces and nephews.
Yeah.
And people, you know, his people that he deems safe. And as he's getting to know Charlotte.
That dance scene where he was, like, laughing, I was like, he smiled.
Oh my gosh.
He's actually a soft hurt boy.
Yes.
D-O-I.
Yeah, like that's the thing. That's the thing. I was like, I hate you. You're an asshole. And then I'm like, oh, he's just a sad emo boy. No, yes. I hate you.
Yes. He's
come
just
on, you. Fuck me, emo boy. Come on. I'm hilarious.
I was not expecting that. I'm sorry.
Me either. But, me either.
Yes. Okay, so who's your favorite Parker brother and why is it Arthur?
Yeah, I was about to say Arthur.
That boy's as gay as the 4th of July.
So fun fact, he was in my Mad Fat Diary.
Oh, which
I think we talked about. Didn't we talk about it briefly? We mentioned it in one of our episodes. I don't know which.
Yeah, because we were going to cast Nico as somebody. That's all.
Nico, so hot.
Right. So hot.
Just give me a minute.
Just give me a minute. I'm fine.
He's in my Mad Fat Diary. I mean, we can also play. Who do you recognize in Sanditon? Because England is so small.
Well, Tom Parker is the guy in Love Actually who goes to America to have sex.
Yes, he is.
That's who he is.
With a backpack full of condoms. Yep. And he ends up with all those models, like Carmen Electra.
Yes. I just kept, and I couldn't say it because my parents, I don't think I've ever seen Love Actually. And I was just like, it's Condom Man.
No, my mom, I watched the first episode with my mom and she's like, it's the guy from Love Actually. And I'm like, Yep.
Yes, it is.
And then Lord Babington is from Game of Thrones.
which I have seen one season of, so...
Well, if you've seen the first season, you've seen him.
Oh, what is he?
He's one of the... He's at the wall with Jon Snow. He's one of his friends. His name is, like, Gren totally or something is. Like that.
Okay, so here's the thing. I didn't really care that much about Game of Thrones. So...
That's fine.
I cared about the first, like, three seasons. That's all.
The last time I saw Game of Thrones was like when the first season came out.
Yeah.
Like 2011.
You know, you're fine. Don't worry about it.
Anyway, Theo James is from Divergent.
Mm-hmm.
And also from Downton Abbey.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, he is. That's all I got.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I got too.
Yeah. Actually, that's not true. I think the priest played a priest in another Jane Austen where he was just as creepy. And I was like, I think you've been typecast, sir. And it's a good typecast because you have a creepy face.
Oh, you know what I learned? The actress who played Esther, she was in the original cast of Mary Poppins, the musical in London. She nice. Played because, you know, when there's kids, they have double or triple cast because, you know, you can't employ a child eight right. nights, mm-hmm. Eight shows a week. And so she was double cast against Carrie Hope Fletcher, who, for my friends who know me, do we remember McFly, the band?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
One of the members is Tom Fletcher. His younger sister is Carrie Hope Fletcher. And Carrie Hope Fletcher is now West End actress. She has been Eponine in Les Mis in the West End production, and she's now Cinderella in what's his name, Andrew Lloyd Webber's Cinderella.
Okay,
so nice. she's like a thing now, which I'm like, wait, oh my
Esther?
God
or no, someone Esther. That Esther played with
as mm-hmm. someone that Esther played with.
Whew. Okay,
so like, I got lost. I know me same okay. I was like, I made so many connections in my brain. We all went on a face journey with
it. It was a journey.
you basically ended up doing a 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, and we didn't have any idea that that's what was happening.
No, sorry. My apologies.
To England.
Yeah, exactly. There's four actors in three sets.
And they're all here.
Exactly.
But to tie it back to our favorite Parker brother, the reason why it's Arthur is because, I mean, it's Arthur. You really just have to watch it or read it. He's so endearing.
And kind.
And I just, it's like because he sees everything. He acts like a buffoon. Like, he reminds me of the Scarlet Pimpernel, if you ever watched that movie from mm-hmm. the 1980s.
Yeah.
And he acts the buffoon, but really he's paying attention. And he's so sweet. And he wants to make people feel valued. But yeah, I actually didn't really think or pick up in any like that he's gay. I fully support the idea. I also kind of thought he and Miss Lam should get together.
I was thinking that as well. I'm like, I'd be very okay with him being a homosexual or with him and Miss Lam. That's so cute.
It's so cute. Well, and so, and Arthur truly is the only redeemable Parker brother. I think Tom it's is true. A fucking white boy with no consequences. Mm-hmm. Like, I love him. He's a cute character. He loves his family, but that man never has to live with consequences. Everyone else has to suffer for his bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And he never has consequences for his actions. And then Sydney is just, I don't know. It's Sydney. I love him. So Sydney's great, but like,
I think
Sydney's
he might have
boy.
They could have given him a chance.
Yeah.
But with the decision that they made at the end, he was no longer redeemed. I think if they had given us our happy ever after, like they had promised us up until mm-hmm. the last 30 minutes,
mm-hmm.
he would have been a redeemed character. Had some redeemable qualities, say. You
absolutely.
Know? But I think the fact that he doesn't, because he ultimately is not growing, he's helping out and going back against his own boundaries that he drew to help his brother, who's an idiot.
He's enabling his brother's poor behavior.
He's enabling it, and then ultimately denying himself what he truly wanted.
Mm-hmm. So, Arthur, my two favorite lines in the show are surrounding Parker brothers. And the first one is when Mrs. Campion shows back up. So Mrs. Campion was a lady that Sydney was in love with like 10 years ago. They were like in love, going to get married. And then she left him for a much older, way richer man. And he spiraled. Her husband is now dead, and she is the richest widow in the country. And she has come back to get Sydney. And Arthur, they're kind of all walking, and Arthur goes, I should have written it down. But it's basically like, you're a better man than I am, Sydney, because I could not have forgiven her for what she's done. And I would not let her back into my life. But he says it in like a sweet way, but you're like, whoo, yep, Arthur's got it. Arthur knows how it goes. And then the other thing is with Sydney, he was redeemable. And that's partly why you love him, because at the last ball scene, when he's just talking to Charlotte, he says, like, I'm a different man or something. And Charlotte says, no, you're not different. You're just better. Like, yeah, you're the same man, but you're better. And I was like, yes. Like, it's kind of like people don't change, but people can change. And that's his whole thing. And he's gotten out of his depression and sadness. And all of this is also why the ending, should we just say what the ending is?
Let's do it. Corey, tell us.
So the very end, old Stringer and young Stringer are building this building, and old Stringer is too fucking stubborn and won't ever leave. And so he ends up having a heart attack and then accidentally burning the building down and dying himself in the fire.
Which was a fucking whiplash, by the way.
Super. Yeah. A whiplash, and also, like, you can kind of blame... Unnecessary?
Needlessly tragic. Needlessly.
Yeah. And young Stringer had... He wanted to be an architect, and he's really good. And his dad was just like, my life should be, like, the best life that you can ever have. You should just be a stonemason like me, and no one ever changes or grows. So his dad dies. He doesn't end up taking this internship that he should have taken in London. He and Charlotte have been like dancing around each other the whole time, but they don't end up together. Because the building burns down, Sydney has to go get money for Tom because Tom didn't insure the fucking building. He couldn't even pay his workers. He didn't insure it. So Sydney goes to London after professing his love to Charlotte and saying, like, you make me a better person and I want to always be around you. And they kiss in a very non-Jane Austen way. Like, it's like,
I was freaking out.
Yeah, it's great. But you're kind of like, people who kiss like that get married in this time frame. Like, you're married now. You're pregnant and married now.
Yeah.
By that kiss.
Children, that's how that happens. You didn't know, now you know.
Oh my god.
But so Sydney goes to London and ends up in becoming engaged to Miss Campion for her money to save Tom. And Charlotte just goes home. And there's the only happy ending, Miss Lamb doesn't get a happy ending, even though she's had like a really tragic story that's been occurring throughout the show. She kind of just like becomes this deadbeat, whatever, who's like sucking off the life of Sydney or whatever. I don't know how to say that, but she's just like boring. And then Charlotte just goes home, and Esther and Babington have a happy ending, and that's great, but that's it.
It was so awful. And I'm like, and Sarah, you said it best, like, why they like the ending sucked so bad, which was like,
they were hoping for a season two.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait. Is that what you're talking
about?
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. So they were hoping for a season two, and then they were somehow miraculously going to get Sydney and Charlotte together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they left it so open-ended. I think they... Because, I mean, it happens often. People will leave it with little resolution. But I think had they known that they would have been canceled and not given a season two, that they would have given us more resolution. You know?
Yeah.
At least told us what happened to Charlotte. Even if she didn't end up with Sydney, just what happened to everybody, really. I mean, you don't know.
Right?
And... But it's hard when people bank on the getting a second season. But if they were to tie it all up in a bow for us, how do they get a second season? You know? Mm-hmm. Like, where do you go from there? Because we've seen it time and time again in shows where they basically gave us a perfect ending and then they kept going.
Supernatural.
Yeah. Outlander.
Cough, Supernatural. Cough, Outlander. Cough. All of these things. I mean, you've seen it countless times. So it's, I don't know. And I don't always need a happy ending. I just felt that this ending was unnecessary and came out of nowhere. I think they had been doing so well up until the burning down of the building. And then I'm like, why did we do this? Mm-hmm. I mean, every single episode that I recorded, I'm like, guys, the plot thickens. I know we're almost done with this book, but guess what? The plot fucking thickens again. Uh-huh. Like, I don't understand how it keeps getting more intense every time I read this. And then it's basically, it goes by episode, so it's like the same time. Every episode, something happens, and you're just like, what the fuck, man? Which I think is not, that brings us back to the question about, like, is it real Jane Austen? It's not. In that sense either, you know, this mm-hmm. drama just for drama's sake, everything in an Austen fic can't say book is you know, is purposeful. Mm-hmm. Everything that happens, there's a reason, and it doesn't feel out of place, or why you're, or if you're questioning, like, Jane, why'd you do that, you know? Whereas with this, you're like, why? What? She's giving him a hand job in the woods. Okay, cool. Why is that in there?
Oh,
I don't understand. That was unnecessary.
That was my first time being like, oh, this is that a Jane Austen book.
You know? And so you're just like, and it's why the ending was so just unsatisfying. Because they kept, you'd think with all of this drama that you'd get your happy ever after.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
they owed you that much for all the heartache.
They owed even like, okay, so this is my question. How would you have written, how would you have rewritten the ending?
I mean,
I have one if you need it.
Listen, I don't think about it that often. Mm-hmm. I've got other things in my brain. So
all right, I rewrote it. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm ready for it.
I honestly didn't change much. So I still think Old Stringer dies. Maybe he just has a heart attack, but something happens, right? And the building burns down. But young Stringer still takes the internship. He doesn't end up with Charlotte because, truthfully, especially the movie version, I think young Stringer is too good for Charlotte.
I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah. I think it's great, and she could be his first love, and then he needs to go to London, and he'll meet someone who is, like, 100 times better and, like, really sweet and kind and that's understands second, that he likes them.
Oh, that's the second season.
That's the second Stringer. Season. You are – okay, no joke. No joke.
I would watch
this
it.
This is my rewriting, okay? So we didn't really talk about Lady Wooster, but basically at one point Charlotte has to go – they go into London, and she goes to a ball with – the Parker brothers, and the Parker brothers are like trying to sell Sanditon, and she's like, wah! And she runs away to this like alcove and runs into this woman, and they start talking, and she just spills her guts to this woman, is telling her all of the drama, and the lady just says her name is Susan, and then like doesn't really do much else. Well, it turns out she is Lady Wooster, something like that,
who Worcester.
Who's like having sex with the king, the prince regent. And so they become really good friends. And she actually comes to Sanditon to hang out with Charlotte and makes this regatta day, this like big deal, and gets lots of rich people to show up. So my rewrite is that Lady Wooster, Sydney still has to go into London to figure out how to save the family, right? But while he's there, he runs into Lady Wooster, like at a party or something. And he's talking to Miss Campion, and Susan is like, what the fuck's going on here? I thought you liked my friend Charlotte. And he tells her everything that happened, and she goes, well, don't get with Miss Campion, just go back to town, like go back to Sanditon, we'll figure it out. And Lady Wooster comes in because £80,000, which is what they need, is nothing to the Prince Regent. And so she like comes in and becomes like the patron or whatever for Charlotte's mm-hmm. sake. And then Charlotte gets to marry Sydney Parker. I think, and somehow with Lady Susan giving the money, it would be like, cool, Tom, you can be in charge of like the creative design, but I'm going to make Sydney be in charge of the money. And that's like your loss. Like, you don't get to be completely in charge anymore. Your ego doesn't get to be in charge anymore because you fucking burnt down the town. And like,
you're very bad with money.
You're super bad with money. And like, you don't, you have the creative genius, but you don't have the administrative genius. And then people get like a happy ending. Esther and Babington still get together. Clara and Edward still get shooed off by Miss Denham. But then you get like whatever. And then Young Stringer is season two. Mm-hmm. That's my rewrite. That's nice. All they needed to do.
Bravo. Bravo.
So angry. I'm so mad.
Very passionate.
I don't agree. Write fanfic. I just get on a podcast and talk passionately about what I would have written.
Nice. I mean, I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think mm-hmm. it's a great ending.
Yeah. I think it's fantastic.
Because what is the point of Charlotte becoming, what is the point of a farmer's daughter becoming friends with the paramour of the Prince Regent if not to have her help her with money in the end? That's mm-hmm. a Jane Austen. That's how Jane would have done it. Like, you know, somebody, Mr. Darcy saves the Bennets. Like, it yeah, always it, happens.
It's, and like, that's the thing, right? Like, this show had so many breadcrumbs lying around, but they just like didn't pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, for why? Like, you introduce Miss Lamb for like this hot second thing. And honestly, it kind of, it's like, oh my God, a person of color, but it was really only there to further Charlotte and Sydney's relationship, which was mm-hmm. like, that fucking sucks that the only reason that this black lady is here is to further the like the character development of two white people. That fucking mm-hmm. sucks.
She's
that,
literally the token.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just like, mm-hmm. it would have been so much better. Like, however, the way that race was handled was really well done. I will yes. say that. Like,
yes.
That being, like, just because the only reason that Miss Lamb really existed was to put two white characters through hell, she was a fully developed character.
Yeah.
And I really wish that she had been utilized more in the second half of the season.
Yes. Yeah, because even like the man she loves is part of the Sons of Africa, and they're
which was super cool. Oh my God, Stringer. Cool. Oh my God, that's the second season. Yes. Stringer falls in love with Miss Lamb.
I'm okay with this. Yeah. I like it. I love
Mariah,
it.
Mariah, you are not allowed to write this until you finish our other fan fiction you're writing for us. Okay. Okay.
Okay. But I'm having thoughts. And she's so small and he's so big.
Uh-huh. Although, I mean, really, let's be real.
And he's so lily white and she's not.
No. In the second
and she's
season,
so rich.
Honestly, if you could finish it,
oh shit,
then write it. But I need you to know, I hate works in progress.
Listen. If I'm going to write it, it's going to be like 20,000 words tops. You know, one shot, maybe two.
Yeah, that's fine. That's all I need. Then you can. But you... The other one is just hanging.
Which other one is just hanging?
The North and South one.
Oh, shit.
That you didn't publish. You just started writing it. And we watched North and South, and we had an entire group like chat about yeah. who each character would be.
That's right.
I never started that.
You did start it. You sent us like the first like several.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
You did
listen,
send us stuff.
Listen. I'm really good at starting things. I'm very bad at finishing them.
And in the decade that has been 2020, I forgot that this happened this year.
Right?
No joke. It felt like it happened like 2 years ago. Okay. Jesus. But back to Sanditon. I mean, we've kind of not really talked about the whole side story plot of the Denhams. Do you guys want to touch on any? That's honestly where all of the weird sexual stuff happens.
Oh God, so weird.
And it's truly it like unnecessary.
It was completely unnecessary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's like mention of physical abuse and sexual abuse and assault by like family members and
on minors and all of these things. And
And like you said, Clara is giving a handy to Edward in the woods, and Charlotte sees it and doesn't understand what she's seeing because she's a precious little baby. And just, it's so, and Lady Denham is so beyond racist to Miss Lamb at one point.
Oh, God, it's so
that
awful.
It is uncomfortable. But that is the scene where I fell in love with Arthur, where he just grabs the pineapple to distract everyone and take the heat off Miss Lamb, and then it's rotten on the inside, and he's like, "Well, here you go. Just like you, it's rotten."
Oh, man. That was my favorite part, honestly, when Miss Lamb was like, everyone's like, "Oh, Miss Lamb, does this remind you of your homeland?" And she's like, you want it to remind me of my homeland? And then she just goes into like Antiguan pigeon. And I was like, fuck yeah.
Yes.
You fucking tell these white people what's up. Mm-hmm. You can speak two languages, motherfucker.
Yeah, at the least. Antigua, she might also speak French.
Exactly.
So the thing I guess the Denham thing I do love is Babington and Esther. Because at first Babington is like, he's a total fuckboy. You think he's a total fuckboy.
And he's Esther's a fuckboy, like, with a heart of gold. He's that one frat boy that's like, maybe we shouldn't rape girls.
He is so, you said Esther has a great character arc, but I think Babington and Esther, both of them do. Because Babington, I think it's the whole trope of like a girl saves the bad boy, but it is kind of like he was just like lollygagging through life, not doing a whole lot, like drinking with his buddies and partying at all hours. And then he found Esther and was like, oh shit, hi, can I marry you? I will change everything about myself in a good way because I really like you.
Right. And like, that's the thing is, like, Babington, you can be kind of interpreted in one of two ways. And I think in the book, it felt like he's always chasing after someone. And he's like, he enjoys the chase. And then, like, it's set up so that, like, he has got in the chase and now he's going to go cheat on her.
Right.
But I think that the actor who played Babington, Mr. Game of Thrones guy, he played it so that, like, I've been chasing after the wrong, like I've been chasing. And once I've gotten them, I've realized that they're not the ones because I've always been looking for someone like Esther, who is actually at my level intellectually.
Yeah. And Esther is having literally zero of his shit. She does not respond to any of his letters. Whenever he talks to her, she looks the other way. She's like, do not talk to me. I know that you're a fuckboy. Don't come at me. We're not doing this today. We're not doing this any day. And he's like, but you're pretty.
And?
Really smart. And you're interesting and funny. And she laughs with him.
I know. It's so cute.
I love when she says, I haven't laughed like that. I can't even tell you when the last time was I laughed like that. When she says that to Edward. So good. And I love... Sorry, I'm just babbling, but seriously, I could just watch Babington and Esther. I love how he like proposes to her and she's like, you think I want to marry to someone who just decided while we were out on a walk that you're going to marry me? No, that's not how this works. You don't just get down on one knee and just think you're going to marry me. No.
It was so cute.
It was so cute. All of it was so cute. But, and then the fact, which we mentioned, that he comes back and is like, your brother has misused you and I just want to be your friend. And she's like, fine. I love that. It's like, we're not going to make this romantic. I think you just deserve better. And I'll be your friend. And you're like, oh, yay. They're so sweet.
But on the other hand, Clara Brereton and Edward Denham, they deserve each other.
Oh my gosh.
Like, they deserve each other in a way that I'm like, oh, God, you're both garbage. You're both pieces of shit.
The actress who plays Clara, though, is so good.
She's very
good. The way she can flip her face. Because in the book, they make her sound like, you know, she's very two-faced and this and that. But just the actress, like, people can't always pull it off. And she could just go from innocence to, like, conniving and the other way around in a half of a second. And it's incredible.
It is. And Edward was much more scraggly than I anticipated him being.
He was so tall.
Yeah, I was like, what the heck is this beanpole?
Which, isn't that funny? But, you know, yeah, I actually kind of pictured a Babington for Edward.
Yeah.
Reading the book, and then I was like, oh, well, you know, here's this tall, tall boy. That's fine.
What?
He's Eve. He's evil. But he and Clara, I don't know. I mean, it's fine. I get the point of it, but it's kind of one of those, like, it was just so much side plot that wasn't needed, where they, like, have this whole discussion about screwing over Lady Denham. She's on her deathbed. They find her will. They burn it and then have sex in the drawing room.
Oh, my God. How convoluted and ridiculous.
Yeah. What a scene. I have seen enough of these movies to know that a servant would have walked in on them 100%. Absolutely. There's no way they were getting away with that. Two, it just was not needed. I mean, I guess they needed it to have Esther turn her back on Edward, but they didn't.
They could have just had them make out, and it would have gotten the same point across.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But then we wouldn't have gotten the many jabs and jibes about, I need new flooring now in that room I hear.
Lady Denham is perfection.
Oh my God. The only time, the whole time that she was on her deathbed, I was like, this is fucking hilarious, honestly.
And to be fair, her will was immaculate, as the Gen Z say. Because she was going to leave all of her money. She's so rich, and she was going to leave all of her money. Oh no. Don't die.
Sarah, are you alive?
I'm alive.
Okay, good.
Okay. She was going to leave all of her money to an ass farm. Or a donkey's. Oh, and to Sanditon. Okay.
So good.
But, well, was there anything else? I truthfully, whenever Mary Parker or Arthur Parker came on screen, I loved them so much. And I think they were kind of underserved, especially with the ending. But I thought they were so good. Mm-hmm. Did you guys have anything else you wanted to talk about with Sanditon? Any other characters that we maybe missed? So many characters.
There are a lot of characters. I mean, no. Oh, no, I know.
Yes.
We even talked about the cricket scene.
Oh. Yes.
Mariah, tell us about the cricket scene.
Listen, and I have a note about the boat race as well. So let's talk about actual scenes. Go for it, cricket.
For some reason, it did not convey to me while we were doing the audio, while we were listening to the audiobook, that Charlotte played with them. So I was genuinely surprised.
Oh, yeah, she does.
I know. And I was like, oh, I think my listening comprehension is not as good as I thought it was. but it was also a billion years ago and I forgot, you know?
Yes.
And I was listening to a lot of audiobooks and shit like at the time. And I was like, they were playing with them and I was like, oh my God, they're all playing. There are not enough undone cravats though. Gotta be real with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm very much liking the rolled up sleeves. Like, and like,
there were a lot. Forearm game was strong.
Yes.
It was strong.
And like the fact that everyone was like, so this is how you play. And she's like, bitch, I know how to play. I have 11 siblings. What else do you think we do on the farm?
I was like, she has a whole cricket team at her house.
Like, she has two whole cricket teams at her house. Was it Stringer who kept telling her how to play, or was it Sydney?
Sydney. Fucking Sydney. Of course, like, young Stringer, that's where young Stringer just thought she hung the moon. He was like, oh my God, she can play cricket.
Yeah, but then that's also Sydney being like, I really, truly just want to help her.
Yes.
But yeah,
she doesn't fucking need your help, sir.
I know. He's trying to provide the help that he can. Precious baby too, trying to open up.
Yes.
Provide help. And she's just like, I don't need this.
Well, so the cricket, it's not the regatta. What was the scene again?
Just
the cricket. And then the boat scene is is before the regatta, he asked her to like help him test the boat.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, also that. So the cricket match was basically between the rich men and the workers.
Oh,
men.
It's an annual, so it was an annual tradition. It was the workers versus the fancy men. I don't know what their right. name were.
The right. gentlemen.
The gentlemen versus the workers.
Which just made and me the, think of the English game.
And the workers almost didn't show up because they hadn't been paid in God knows how long. And then Tom Parker gets called out on that, so he storms off like a bebe, and Charlotte comes in to save the day play cricket with the men folk and basically bewitch
every man.
On every man. Yeah. Every man.
She takes off her day jacket and is just in her shirt sleeve, like her short little puffy sleeves, and you're like, hello.
Which is basically like the equivalent. Yeah, it's like the equivalent of like just wearing a sports bra and a shirt and your jet shirts.
Oh, so good.
Shirts.
Yeah. Well, and then my favorite part of that is they're all like really intense and having this thing. And then Babington has picked like the farthest out. It's like outfield, almost into the ocean. So he can just talk to Esther the whole time.
Oh my God, so goddamn cute.
They're so adorable. That's truly when you see Babington is like not just a fuckboy, that he is like, oh, like he really likes her. Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So fucking cute.
So then adorable. there's a a boat. Is that the regatta?
It's right before the regatta.
But it's like that same day, right?
It's the same day.
Okay.
And it's just like an hour or so before. He's like, will you help me see if the boat is ready?
Sydney to Charlotte,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Mariah?
Oh, God, what did I even say?
Mariah, like, something took thirsty. A screenshot, and she was like, is this the most sexual scene of this whole movie? And Clara and Edward have already had sex. Like, we don't care about them. This is the most sexual scene in the movie.
I gotta go see what I said now.
I don't remember.
Oh, man.
But basically, yeah, like, he holds her hands and, like, has her rowing the boat. It's like, literally, they're gonna, like, do a row race. And so it's just, like, a little, like, canoe thing. But... Oh, it's so good.
It is honestly one of the... Did this happen on fucking Sunday? Jesus Christ, we text so much.
We really do.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, man. Hold on. I'm almost there. Holy shit. Okay, wait, no, I don't know what happened to it. It's gone. I don't know.
The picture is gone. Wait, what?
I don't remember. Anyway. But I was
what
just
Mariah
like,
said, you were like, whoa.
Yeah, I was just like, this is the most sexual tension.
Yes.
I have ever seen. They are literally holding hands while oaring, and I'm like, is this a metaphor for sex?
Yes. It is. I think, is this when you
it
were
like. It
was
a Marco Polo. That's why.
Okay. You were like, me thirsty? Wrong,
is that
bitch.
What it was?
me thirsty? Wrong, bitch. Not me. I would never.
Oh, yeah. So there's, Mr. Sydney Parker is opening up and fucking Charlotte with his eyes and smiling. Oh my God, I'm melting.
That was the ball.
Yes. And then also fuck Mrs. Campion.
Yeah, fuck. Which is so funny because Sarah told us that Mrs. Campion and Theo James are married in real life. That's fucking hilarious.
Whatever. I love it.
I love it a lot.
So then, my one note from this whole movie, besides being just angry about stuff, was I really think we need to bring back setting off cannons to start whole ass races. Like, I really just need. Like, when did we?
Oh, jeez. Corey, you killed Sarah.
I'm okay.
Like, when did we go all, like, wimpy and just shoot guns up in the air? I love how they were like, we're going to set off a whole fucking cannon.
for this little rowboat race.
There's four rowboats, most of who are half these people are drunk on their boat.
Oh God, so good.
And then I love young Stringer because that during that too is he and Charlotte kind of have a heart to heart, and he realizes Charlotte really likes Sydney and not him. And so he gets in the boat with his other worker class friends, and he's like, we're going to win because I'm not going to get beat by him twice today. And I was like, oh, or lose to him twice today.
Oh, I think
is the phrase. And as they were rowing, my mom goes, do these rich, spoiled men really think they're going to beat stonemasons? In the 1800s?
Yeah, absolutely. Privilege is a privilege is a crazy thing. You know?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I love it. And just Lady Worcester standing up for Charlotte with Miss Campion and all of it. It's
so
great.
So good.
It's really great. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's it for me.
Anything else? All good, Sarah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks for listening to Sanditon, guys. Do yourself a favor and do whatever you want. You might love it, you might hate it. I'm not going to tell you how to live your life, but, you know. Here we are.
Exactly.
So what are we loving this week?
Oh, my God. Y'all. Today, Disney Lucasfilm dropped so many things are happening in the world of Star Wars. So many.
Yay.
So many things. Number one, we have this thing called Visions, which is like Star Wars celebrated through the lens of anime. And then we have the Bad Batch, which I don't know what it is yet, but I'm looking for it. It looks like it's animated, and I'm very excited about it. I think it's about the clones. And then
the clones.
Yes. Then there's Andor, which is about Cassian Andor, which means a whole series about another space Latino, and a whole Ahsoka series that's set during the time period of the Mandalorian. Same thing for Rangers of the New Republic, and the Obi-Wan series.
Oh my God,
the Obi-Wan series where Ewan McGregor is coming back, and so is Hayden Christensen as Darth Vader, that takes place 10 years after the events of the Revenge of the Sith. I am literally losing my goddamn mind.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
I found out, I like literally logged into Instagram this morning, or this afternoon, like, oh, let's see what's on Instagram. I need to do something for my teachergram. And then I was just bombarded. I don't have enough time to dig deep into this. But I am so excited, and I immediately texted my work group chat about it, and I was like, y'all, I'm losing my goddamn mind.
you don't even know.
We won today, y'all. Have been fed. And I texted, and one of the things I said is like, now I finally understand how those Marvel people feel, you know, like,
yes,
when you just get all of the yep. announcements of everything yes. that's going to happen in the next 5 years all at once, and you don't know what to do with yourself.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I suddenly have things to live for, you know?
Yes.
You
do. I understand. Well, Sarah?
So it's been a rough week, a couple mm-hmm. of weeks, but I have been loving that I have two of the best friends ever. I told them that I just wanted someone to read out loud to me. I don't know why I couldn't have just downloaded an audio book, but whatever. I was sick, brain not functioning, so I couldn't think of something simple like that. They very sweetly recorded themselves reading books out loud to me and sent it to me. And it's just, I love it. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Yay. And that's been the highlight of my sickness.
Yay. Yay. Oh, I'm so glad.
You do it because why?
I do it because I really just want you both to read The Trail Bride.
Corey, have you been listening?
No.
Corey.
No.
Sorry.
Seriously,
I know.
So excited. I know. I'm actually like pretty close to being willing to just start reading it on my own now.
No, but Mariah's voice is so good.
It is great.
Thank you. I've been practicing.
Good. Well, now I feel dumb because my thing that I'm loving this week is so shallow. Are you ready?
I just said that I love Star Wars. Don't even worry about it. What's the thing that you're loving?
So I fell to peer pressure and have gotten a Bumble. And the thing that I...
What was that maniacal evil laughter?
Because Mariah knows where this is going, I think. Sarah, you've been so sick, I didn't want to bombard you with the pictures that I'm sending Mariah, but I would just like...
Feel free, send them my way now, I'm better.
Okay, well listen, if you're a man on a dating app, why are you putting a picture of you with a fish?
I don't understand.
Why?
Isn't that trend like all over TikTok?
Do you
now
know?
Too?
You know? Yeah, I think it is now. Do you know what people like me do when we see those? We screenshot your picture, send it to our best friend, and then we swipe left.
Oh God. Like, I don't understand. Like, what is sexually appealing?
I don't
about
think...
you holding a fish. So an one... activity that I don't want to do.
And yeah. Today I hit the jackpot though. I sent Mariah two pictures. One was a man. I don't even know which one he was because there's three men in the picture, but there was about 87 fish in the picture.
Oh, I mean,
it was him in front of a table of dead fish.
Oh, it was great.
That was magical.
That's how I and woke then, up this morning.
Then there was a... and then there's a picture of a man. I think he's holding a fish. I don't actually know what this creature is. Took a screenshot, and then there was a man wrestling an alligator.
Are your choices for people in Colorado?
Yeah.
And he was wrestling an alligator.
Uh-huh.
I'm so... mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We
so
don't have them here.
I would just like a public service announcement. If you are a gentleman with a fish photo, don't fucking do it.
No one cares about your fish photo, dude.
Don't do it. I don't know why, but I've been really loving, it just makes my day getting to like, because some days it's like seven or eight pictures in a fucking row. Like this isn't just an anomaly of one or two dudes. It's so many. So Sarah, be prepared for fish photos because they're never ending. But I do love that I have a friend, I have friends and I can just be like, what the fuck? Why men?
Yeah.
Sometimes men make questionable choices and we continue to let
often.
Them.
Not sometimes, often.
Well, all went. Yeah, it's true. So, there you go. Okay. Mariah, is it you next week?
Yes. Oh, I should start. Okay.
What are we talking about next week, Mariah?
Thank you for the my line. My leader.
I distracted you with my fish photos.
Next week, we're talking about the happiest place on earth, Disneyland.
Yay!
All right. Thank you so much for listening to the Drive Time Pod. You can stalk us on many different apps, including Instagram, Gmail, and Anchor. It's all the Drive Time Pod with wherever you're looking. New episodes drop sometime around Wednesday.
This week's a little late. Sorry, guys.
This week's a little late because, you know, Sarah's sickness and everyone's busy. And
I was so distracted by fish photos.
Anyway, please go out in the time of non-COVID. Find yourself a nice seaside town. Don't get caught up in all of the drama, or do and see what happens. But if you do, make sure that you have, you know, choices and money.
This is the weirdest outro ever. I'm going to just call you on it now.
Listen, they're getting weirder and weirder, and I don't care. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.
Bye.